FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I am Kerry Lutz, and today is February 7th, 2017. Well, person you're about to hear from, he's been on the show before, author of 25 books, amazingly enough. Believe me, it is hard to write a book. I just got done writing one myself, and you think you can do it? You think anyone can do it? Wrong. It is a task and a half. Anyway, Mark Shaw is with us, and he finished his book, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, The Mysterious Death of What's My Line TV star Dorothy Kilgallen. And Mark, it's great to have you back with us, and you have some really amazing news to share with us. The Post broke the story, I guess, about a week and a half ago, but hey, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much, Kerry. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us what is going on here. Actually, it was January 29th that I read this story. So it's actually a little more than a week ago.
Yeah, a week ago Sunday. When you write a book, you never know what's going to happen with it. As I told you on the previous show, I was never going to write this book. And I did, and I wrote about Dorothy, and it's just been incredible. The magical name, her name is still magic now.
Yeah.
People have really get involved in her story and what happened to her, what a remarkable woman she was, these careers that she had, and then, you know, have been appalled at what happened 50 years ago with regard to her death. No investigation and so on and so forth.
Awesome.
And I've received emails from people all around the world, really, talking about Dorothy's story and the need for justice and all of that. But you need one champion who's going to really aid your cause, and that has been Sue Edelman, who's a New York Post writer of some acclaim.
Yes.
She latched onto this story, and in December, when the book came out, she wrote a long article, 2-page article in the Post. And then, I had written a couple letters to the New York District Attorney's Office, Cyrus Vance Jr.'s office, demanding, frankly, that they open an investigation of Dorothy's death. There was never an investigation in 1965, so it wasn't reopening. It was just opening an investigation. And it's interesting. My litter agent said, hey, Mark, there's about a million to one chance of that happening.
Yeah.
But with Sue on the job, requesting information as to whether the DA was going to do anything and all of that, and my having people call the DA office and do all these kinds of things. Lo and behold, Sue was able to report a week ago Sunday that the DA's office was investigating, looking into whatever you want to call it, Dorothy's death. And that's just such great news, because that
needed
to happen.
It's stunning news. I looked at it. All right. I kind of have a Google search in there for Dorothy Kilgallen. It's not like you see articles every day about her. Mm-hmm. After your book came out, there was a flurry, and mm-hmm. I saw it in the Post, and I mean, it was just shivers up my spine, because it isn't just about her. It's really about the whole Kennedy assassination investigation as well. And as I scroll through your book, and there's all of these pictures of her with numerous other celebrities. I mean, it's a bygone era, and it's history. And this is a chapter of history. Well, maybe potentially could open up, blow a hole through the whole Kennedy assassination investigation, which we all have our opinions about. But, you know, it's really a chapter of history that never properly explored.
Yeah, I think it is a slice of history. And I've had that remark made by people. You know, Dorothy represented a certain era. Young people especially don't have any idea what it was like when there was very little television, no internet, of course, no cyberspace, none of that. Newspapers were king. And Dorothy was the queen of the newspapers and syndicated to 200 of them across the country. People got up in the morning and had their coffee and read their newspaper. Mm-hmm. And so she was, you know, the New York Post was right. She was the most powerful female voice in America. And so, she shouted about what was going on during those years in entertainment, politics. I mean, she got into every area, but especially her expertise was in criminal trials. And, you know, she covered the Dr. Sam Shepard case that became the fugitive film, and the Lindbergh baby kidnapping case. And then, of course, she got into the Jack Ruby trial. And so, you know, Dorothy is kind of a mouthpiece for that era. and a remarkable woman, as I say. And yes, I think her credibility with the best sources and all of that, people will read in the book her version of what happened back in 1965 in Dallas. And I've said before, I don't think there should be any book written, any discussion had from now on without Dorothy being added to the equation, because she was there. And we have videotapes on the DorothyKilgallenStory.org of people saying she was there and talking about what she was doing with investigation and all of that. So for historical reasons, I think it's very, very important to have told her story.
Yeah, and I just want to mention that her son, Kerry Colmar, I am named after him. So I've got this personal connection to her. And I remember my mother listened to the Dorothy Kilgallen show, and she seemed to have this perfect marriage. And then they got divorced, and my mother just could not believe it. So,
Well, they didn't actually get divorced, but yeah, they went their separate ways, and it was pretty much public knowledge. So that's
right.
That's what she would have remembered. It's remarkable that you were named after Kerry. And, you know, that's substantial in terms of Dorothy's story, because people will read that when she decided to look into the JFK assassination, she knew JFK. They were friends and all that. But JFK had befriended little Kerry, who was in the third grade at the time when they went to the White House. And she could not forget how wonderful he was to her son. In fact, there's a quote in the book that says, when after JFK was killed, what I remember is a tall man stooping over a little boy who was showing him letters from his third grade class, Kerry. That is the man who was assassinated in Dallas. And, Bennett Cerf, I think, was one that said when Dorothy went after a story, boy, she went after it. And that's what she did with the JFK assassination. So you are named after someone who is very critical to understanding Dorothy Kilgallen's investigation of the assassinations.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you just look at her, tenacious, and did not give up. And so the person who last saw her before she died, he's still alive.
Yeah, and that's, I think, people have asked me, how did you do this? How did you get the DA to look into this? And I think there were several reasons. One was the potential for government corruption in the medical examiner's office when they decided she died of an accidental death, and it made no sense whatsoever. But I think the fact that there's substantial evidence that a man who was very close to Kilgallen, a romantic interest toward the end of her life, was the last man to have seen her the night before she died. And in my letters to the DA, I pointed out the two poems that he had written. Mm-hmm. You can look at all of the interview material that I had with him in the book, but it's these two poems because people will read that I believe that Dorothy was poisoned. Her drink either at the Regency Hotel the night before she died was poisoned, or at her home. And this Ron Pataki, who knows that he's quoted in the book, who knows all about the book because I sent him one, knows he's under scrutiny here. He wrote two poems, and one of them has a bartender as an image right by it. And I'll just tell you what he wrote. He wrote, "While I'm spilling my guts, she is driving me nuts. Please fetch us two drinks on the run. Just skip all the noise and make one of them poison. And don't even tell me which one." Well, Ron told me it was just a humorous poem, and he wrote one about muzzling a reporter at a typewriter. Well, those just jump out at you, and I think that's what jumped out at the DA. And I can give you some fresh news that nobody else has, Kerry, and that is that I received a communique from the DA's office yesterday. They are moving full bore toward looking into this. They believe what I do. Murder is murder, whether it happened 5 days ago, 5 years ago, or 50 years ago. And they are going to connect one of their detectives or assistant district attorneys with me in the near future so that I can give them more information, including some new information that I've gotten since this Post article, especially. Sue Edelman has said, "Mark, if you get it, send it to me." And the DA has said, "We want to see it. We want to see anything new that you've found." And so I'm working with them. So if there's anybody that listens to this broadcast, knows anything about Dorothy Kilgallen's death, I hope they will either contact me through my website or go ahead and contact the DA's office.
Hey, absolutely. If you know anything, anybody knows anything, we have a lot of retirees older than myself. Hey, by all means, just send us an email or send it. What's your website, Mark?
It's markshawbooks.com. That's where people can easily get a hold of me. But I do hope also they'll go to dorothykilgallenstory.org, because all of the photographs, all of the quotes, all of the articles and columns, and more than 50 videos are up there that people can watch and hear eyewitnesses who knew her, her two best friends, the last woman to see her, and also Ruby's co-counsel, Joe Tannehill, talk about Dorothy. That's the credibility for the book.
Yeah. And the evidence there, so there was powder found on a glass in her room, and you said you found in the National Archives autopsy report showing multiple barbiturates in her system. So people don't pop different types of barbiturates to get to sleep, right? You normally have a prescription for one, and back in the day, that's what was prescribed for sleeping pills, barbiturates.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the autopsy report is flawed. It basically said that she died of an overdose of barbiturates and alcohol, but they really only focused in on Secanol, which are sleeping pills.
Right.
But I noticed in the report that Tylenol was also listed there, and then he never ever talked about that at all, having anything to do. That's a more dangerous drug. And then phenobarbital was found in her system, all three barbiturates, 3 years later, and then some of that powder on a glass. I mean, if you're going to commit suicide, you don't take the pills and undo them and put the powder in.
Ridiculous.
And if you're accidentally if you accidentally die, you don't do that either. So I think that convinced the DA that what I had in the book was valid. It validated my research when they decide to investigate, and hopefully they will keep going. And if they don't, Susan Edelman will get after them. I tell you that right now.
They'll be sorry for sure. So the question is, was there a conspiracy involved here to silence her? That's really what it comes down
to.
I think
that's pretty apparent. We can trace what happened to her from the Ruby trial all the way through the last days of her life. She was writing this book for Random House Carry about the JFK assassination. She was going to crack the case wide open, she told people. Mm-hmm. Told one of the hairdressers, if the wrong people knew what I know about the JFK assassination, it would cause me to lose my life. I mean, no question she was scared. People have asked me, why? Why didn't Dorothy get some protection if she thought she was in danger? Well, she was such a big figure, and I think she was overconfident. I think she didn't believe she could be touched. You know, she was just such a big celebrity. She did buy a gun, mm-hmm. according to her hairdressers, but I think she just thought that nobody could touch her. And unfortunately, I think as people read in the book, there was no question that they could not let her write that book about the JFK assassination, exposing those people she thought were involved.
Yeah. Yeah, she knew too much. And if they could take out the president, that was her mistake in the reasoning there. If they could take out the president, who wouldn't they take out to keep the plot?
That scared a lot of people, Carrie, and including her hairdressers, who never talked about this until the late 90s. And I will tell you, I've had some contact with some people who knew Dorothy very well. And I'm hoping that they will permit me to talk to them. But this is 2017, and they're still scared of doing anything.
Everybody
involved is dead.
Yeah.
But there's these witnesses around, and of course, and all of that. But you can just imagine these people thought, if they can kill the president and they can kill Dorothy Kilgallen, I'm not about to step forward and talk about this.
And there's so many others who have died mysterious deaths, not to get into the whole conspiracy theory mongering, but the facts are the facts that many people just died very convenient deaths to keep to keep the plot from coming out.
Well, we've tried to set up the book as a whodunit murder mystery, true crime murder mystery, and the sales have gone through the roof, and that's great. But more than that, hearing from all these people who have read the book and believe Dorothy was denied justice, and that's what I'm fighting for. Her story is being heard, and people are recognizing the career she had, and then becoming, as I was, very upset with what happened to her way back then.
Yeah.
But hopefully we're going to get to the truth here. You're a man of the truth, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Sure. And the story really resonated with me reading the book. Not quite done with it yet, but I'm well into it, and it really, it's compelling, and the pictures, it makes it so real, and the personal connection to myself. It just really...
Well, there's no question about that. And I think, you know, I don't know if your mother is still living or not.
No, I'm afraid not. But yeah.
You know, I think she would be appalled at what happened to Dorothy because she must have thought so much of her to have named you after her son. And, you know, murder is the worst form of censorship. And that's what they did. They silenced her. And the killers won because her research and her columns and everything have been forgotten for 50 years until now.
Yeah.
So hopefully she's going to get to do with regard to the remarkable career she had that your mother so admired.
Well, she's getting it for sure. And I just remember my parents, and I won't express an opinion on their theory. They just told me LBJ did it. Why else did he seal all the records for 50 years, 70 years? That's what my parents said. They never liked him. They thought he was a snake in the grass. And that was their theory. So without expressing an opinion one way or the other, I have my opinions. But it's clear to me it was a conspiracy. And, you know, you just can't, like, well, Murray Rothbard, the great Austrian economist, said, you know, we always think it's lone gunmen, but always look to see who benefits from the act.
Motive. You know, and who benefits from the crime. That's right.
Exactly. Who are the beneficiaries? And, you know, Kennedy wanted to get rid of the oil depletion allowance, Vietnam, military industrial complex, all of these things. There were all these beneficiaries of the act. So that's the way I look at it whenever I see a crime. Who are the beneficiaries?
Well, Dorothy was there, you know, unlike an awful lot of people who've written about this, including me. Dorothy was there, and we have proof that she was there. In fact, a reader is sending me photographs of Dorothy that she and her brother took during the Jack Ruby trial of Dorothy at Daley Plaza.
Wow.
We know she was there. We know through Joe Tannehill she was there, that she interviewed Ruby. And that, to me, is the most credible part of listening to Dorothy about what happened back then. So people can make up their own mind when they read her story.
Yeah. Hey, well, part of the problem is there's been so many theories and so much overkill, so much information put forth about the assassination that the true voices have been drowned out.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping Dorothy's won't, but we'll see.
In her voice, I think we've got a good chance that the truth will come out finally. Well, let's hope. So just give us the websites again, please.
And, thank you. Thank you, Carrie. My website, if people want to see about my checkered career, it's markshawbooks.com. The book trailer and everything about the book is at the reporterwhoknewtoomuch.com. And then the main video, the main website that really has everything about Dorothy, including these videos, is the dorothykilgallenstory.org.
All right. And you will find links on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Again, if you have any questions, email me, kl@carrielutz.com, kl@carrielutz.com. Mark, we wish you all the best on the book and can't wait to finish it. Thanks so much for coming on again. And let's hope that the truth will finally come out and justice will finally be served.
Well said. Thank you so much, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.